First of all, is the Valley of the Dry Bones, we'll see what it is. Is it a vision? Is it a parable? Or did it really happen? The Rambam holds that the entire resurrection of the dead bones that Ezekiel resurrected took place only in a vision, in the prophet's mind's eye. Who says that that's any less real, Moshe, than the physical world? When a Navi has a mystical vision or a dream, who says it's any less real than happening in the physical world, right? The way a Navi sees something in a dream is not the way we dream. Right? Like the Maaseh Merkava. So is the physical Yecheskel transported to the valley, or does it all happen in a prophetic trance, a vision? The Rambam says that it's only a vision, and the Rambam says something amazing. The Rambam says, this got him in hot water, Rabbi Yaakov. You know, the Mora Nevuchim was banned. Why was the Mora Nevuchim banned? For a few reasons, but the main reason why the Guide to Perplex was banned was because the Rambam wrote that, remember the story with the three angels coming to visit Abraham?
Right.
And Abraham ran to the barn and he made the, when he gave them pastrami, not pastrami, tongue on rye, right? And Sarah laughed. According to the Rambam, this did not happen in the physical world. It happened inside Abraham's head.
How did he derive that?
Oh, he read her mind, maybe?
One minute. The Rambam's opinion is, whenever Malachim interact with human beings, it cannot be taking place in the physical world. Because an angel is a being from heaven. A being from heaven cannot interact with a physical being. It's just like you can't mix fire and water.
Yeah.
So whenever human beings are interacting with Malachim, it has to be taking place inside the head of the Navi. So according to the Rambam, the entire story, Abraham ran to the guests and he gave them delicious meal, and then they blessed Sarah and Sarah laughed. Yiddish Devorah, this entire episode, according to Maimonides, takes place inside Avraham Avinu's head. Rashi and Ramban disagree. They say that angels, when they come to earth, do interact on a physical level with human beings. But according to Maimonides' vision, Maimonides' view, just like the Valley of the Dry Bones, Avraham interacting with the Malachim, Lot, when the Malachim rescue Lot and the family, right? And they schlep him outside, remember?
Right.
And they said, don't look back. According to Maimonides, where is it happening? Inside Lot's head. It's not happening in the physical world. So this got the Rambam in deep hot water, Aviv. It got him in water. It got him that the Mora Nevuchim was banned.
How about when all the Rasha'im came and hammered on his door and said, send them out? Was that still just in Lot's mind?
You have to say. It all took place in Lot's mind. Right? When they came and they banged on the door and Lot pulled them in, what? All taking place in a trance. This is a revolutionary opinion of Maimonides in the Mora Nevuchim, and that's why the Sefer was banned.
And burnt, too, I believe.
Burnt, that's right. Rabbeinu Yonah. Why did Rabbeinu Yonah write the Shaarei Teshuva? He was the leading antagonist against the Rambam, and he, I don't know if he authorized the burning, but he looked the other way when they burned the Mora Nevuchim. And then a few years later, the Vatican burned the Talmud. And then Rabbeinu Yonah realized that he made a terrible error. Why would God allow the Talmud to be burned? As a punishment that he, Rabbeinu Yonah, led the charge against Rambam's Mora Nevuchim, and he let it be burned. So this is a punishment. And his entire life, he wrote Shaarei Teshuva as a personal tshuva. The Rambam was already dead by the time, to beg the Rambam for forgiveness for being against him. But anyway, you have in Yecheskel, where God tells Yecheskel to lie on his side for 390 days. You hear this? It'll give you a pain in the back, won't it? According to Rashi, this actually took place in the physical world. Yecheskel lied on his back for 390 days. Is God torturing him? According to the Rambam, it all took place in a vision. Yecheskel didn't physically lie on his side for 390 days. It took place in a vision. When God told the prophet Hosea to marry a prostitute, remember in the book of Hosea? According to Rashi, it happened in the real world. According to Rambam, it's all what? In a vision. So anyway, according to Rambam, and according to opinion of Gemara in Sanhedrin 92, there were no bones, no valley in reality. It's all a vision. But there's a message here for us and why it's read on Pesach. According to the other Tanoim, they disagree. They say that what? It actually took place in the physical world. That Yechezkel actually resurrected the dead. And this proves there'll be a resurrection of the dead. Who's right? Is Rambam right? Is Rashi right? They're both right. Whenever there's a machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes between superstars, Rishonim and Tanoim, they're both right. It took place in the physical world, and it also took place where? In the prophet's mind. Okay? But what's the message more important? What is the message for me? There is the Talmud, Yehuda ben Becerra says, the Gemara in Sanhedrin 92, to dispute to his colleague who said that this whole vision happened only in this whole dream, or whatever you want to call it, this resurrection of the dead happened only in a vision. Yehuda ben Becerra says, I'll prove to you that it actually happened. The Talmud says, Sanhedrin, I do. He gets up and he shows his tefillin. I am a descendant of those dead bones that Yechezkel, what? Resurrected. What happened to those dead guys? They got married, they had children. I'm a great-great-grandson of theirs. This is the tefillin that my great-grandpappy gave me. He was one of the resurrected. So you see, it's not just a vision. It also took place, what? In the physical world as well. But why is it recorded in Tanakh? There's millions of Nevi'im, only 48 Nevi'im are recorded in Tanakh. What's the message for us? And why we read it when on Pesach? Interesting. Where do you learn out the resurrection of the dead in the Torah? Yechezkel did it. But where is the concept in the Torah? Az Yoshir Moshe. Az Yoshir Moshe, the Gemara in Sanhedrin again points out, doesn't say Moses sang, doesn't say Shar, Yoshir Moshe. Then Moshe and the Jews will sing again. What do you mean they'll sing again? Dead people can't sing. So from here you learn out Tchiyas HaMeisim min HaTorah. You learn out Tchiyas HaMeisim from the Torah, the dead will be resurrected. And the Rambam, interesting. The Rambam, who says that the entire episode of the Valley of the Dead Bones took place in a vision, the Rambam writes in the Ani Mamin, that if you don't believe in a physical resurrection when Mashiach comes, you're a heretic. The Rambam, who says the Valley of the Dry Bones only happened in a vision, he says in the Ani Mamin, in the Parish of Mishnayot, that if a Jew does not believe in the physical resurrection of the dead when Mashiach comes, that person is a kofa b'chola Torah kula. So even the Rambam not only believed in the physical resurrection, he made it a doctrine of Yahadut. Meisim Yechaye El Barov Chazdo Baruch Adeyat Shem Tehiloso Meitim Yechaye El Barov Chazdo Baruch Adeyat. It's the last of the Ani Mamets, saving the best for last. So where do you learn out the resurrection of the dead in the physical sense from the Torah? Az Yoshir. It doesn't say Moses and the Jews sang, even though they sang 3,324 years ago. It says Yoshir. They will sing. So here you learn out that there will be a physical resurrection. You hear? So what's the source? The singing of the Red Sea. So the Rambam says, why? Why is the source for the physical resurrection of the dead at the Red Sea? So the Rambam says, you hear what he says? If you think splitting of the Red Sea was something, you ain't seen nothing yet. Tchiyas HaMeisim will be a far greater miracle than splitting of the Red Sea. So by the song of the Red Sea, singing about that miracle, the Torah teaches, stay tuned. There's going to be a far greater miracle coming. What's that? Tchiyas HaMeisim. So that's the source for the Torah. Tchiyas HaMeisim from Oz Yoshir. Go ahead.
The way you're putting it is they must be connected, right? Going through the crossing the Yom Kippur. So it's crossing from death to life.
Beautiful. when they cross the sea, it's like they emerged, what? Born again? And this is the source for Tchiyas HaMeisim. Doesn't say Shar Yashir. Atid. Mikan L'Tchiyas HaMeisim in HaTorah. So the Shir HaTayam. And why dafka the Shir HaTayam? Remember we explained? We said that the Shir HaTayam is actually the song for the final redemption. We explain why there's 2 days, why Pesach is the only 2 day yontif from the Torah. Rosh Hashanah is only 1 day min haTorah, the second day is Rabbanan. Yeah. Shmini Atzeres, that's regular lifnei atzmo. Why do you make a Shechi Yonu by Shmini Atzeres? Because it's not part of Sukkot. Do you make a Shechi Yonu on the 7th day of Pesach? You
no,
don't.
No.
Because it's part of what? Pesach. So man ishtane Pesach mikol achagim. Pesach is the only chag that's 2 days yontif from the Torah. And why do we sing the song of the sea on the 7th day of Pesach? Because that's when the Jews sang it, says Rashi. The Jews sang the song of the sea on the 7th day of Pesach when they crossed the sea. So we sing it to commemorate that. The Baal Shem Tov says something amazing. Why is Pesach the only 2 day yontif from the Torah? He says because the 1st day of yontif is to commemorate the Exodus from Egypt. The 7th day of Pesach is to commemorate Sonia the final redemption, the final geula, Baal Shem Tov. Ooh, it's gewaldig. Oy, so geschmack. Baal Shem Tov asked the kasha, Shirley, as follows. The Rambam says, you don't believe in the coming of the Mashiach, you're a heretic. That's what he says. You're a heretic, ani mamin. So Baal Shem Tov wants to know, where in the Torah is there a mitzvah to believe in the coming of the Mashiach? Where is there a mitzvah in the Torah to believe in the coming of the Mashiach? If you don't believe, you're a heretic. Check the Sefer HaMitzvos. Says the Baal Shem Tov, the 7th day of Pesach, we celebrate to affirm our belief in the coming of Mashiach. Baal Shem Tov. That's why Pesach is man istana Pesach. Pesach is the only chag that's 2 days yontif from the Torah. The only chag, think. Because the 1st day Pesach is to commemorate the Exodus from Mitzrayim. The final day of Pesach is to commemorate the final Exodus, David. Final day of Pesach to commemorate the final Exodus. The final Exodus of Mashiach. Therefore, says about the Baal Shem Tov, you sing the Oz Yashir Moshe, which speaks about Tchiyas HaMeisim. Who will bring Tchiyas HaMeisim? Mashiach. So the Oz Yashir is actually the song of the final redemption. Sung on the final day of Pesach, because that's to commemorate not the Exodus. That's the 1st day Yontif. The final day Yontif Pesach is to celebrate the final redemption. To Mashiach Tzakenu. Therefore, says Baal Shem Tov, you learn out Tchiyas HaMeisim, which will happen when Mashiach comes where? On the Shir HaTayam. That's the song of Mashiach. That's why we sing it on the final day, not the 1st day. So someone's going to ask you, doctor, please, where is Mashiach in the Torah? Where is there a mitzvah to believe in Mashiach? Check the books. It's not there. Says Baal Shem Tov, it's there. When you're celebrating the 7th day of Pesach this week, next week, you're celebrating your belief in Ani Mamin Moshiach. Did you know that? Pay to come today. And that's why Baal Shem Tov came up with Tzudas Mashiach.
Oh, that was just about
that's why the Baal Shem Tov came up with Tzudas Mashiach. When, David? On the final day of Pesach. Mm. To celebrate the final redemption. It fits like a glove. So, mitzvah srichas kavana alfi. When we're celebrating the final day of Pesach, we have to know we're celebrating and reaffirming our belief in the final Exodus, which we're not doing on the 1st day of Pesach. There we're celebrating the 1st Exodus. Now, how come there's no Shechi Yonu on the 7th day of Pesach, like there is on Shmini Atzeres? Why not? Because the final redemption is an extension of Pesach Mitzrayim, says the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. There's no Shechi Yonu. Because the final redemption is connected to what? To the redemption from Mitzrayim. It will follow a parallel sequence. You hear what the Baal Shem Tov said? The Pesach Mitzrayim was the beginning. The end game will be the Pesach L'Osed Lavoi, the Mashiach Tzakenu. There's no Sechiyanu, David, because it's an extension. The process began when? On Pesach Mitzrayim. But it'll only end when Mashiach Tzakenu comes. Long delay. 3,324 years. So right? But that's not his fault. God was ready. God was ready when the Jews came back under Ezra. God was ready. The Jews weren't ready. Remember we spoke about that? God was ready when Ezra brought the Yidden back.
Why is Mashiach supposed to be coming on a Hamor?
Why won't he use a Volvo? A Volvo? Remember you had a Volvo, didn't you?
Yeah, did
you see that? Come on, will he really use a Hamor?
No, it's not literal.
Of course it's not literal. Of course it's not literal. Of course it's not literal.
A donkey doesn't go in a straight path.
Beautiful, Devorah.
No, I've heard this.
It's beautiful what you're saying. If you know a chamor, the prophet chamor, in Mount Zion we have a lot of chamors, surely. But I don't know who's riding whom. A lot of chamor, but I don't know who's riding whom. There's something unique about a chamor. Chamor will go forward, stop, and go backwards. Forwards and backwards. That's a chamor. The redemption will come, but it will come like a chamor. It won't be in a straight line. Forwards and backwards. Don't despair. Hang in there. He'll get there, but look at the chamor. Remember we said that the final redemption is an extension of what? Of the first redemption? The first redemption went smooth?
No.
How many setbacks were there? One after the other. In Mitzrayim, Moses gave the message of freedom. Things got better. They got worse. And finally, we're ready, Midbar Sinai. We're on our way to Pisgat Zev. One disaster after another. One disaster after another. But we got there. Says the Zohar, the final redemption will be the same way. We have Medinas Yisrael, the Six-Day War, marching ahead. And all of a sudden, you have disaster, Nebuch, with the setbacks, and Gush Katif, the expulsion, and the terrorism. Don't despair. This is what happened the first Geula. Redemption came despite the setbacks. The final redemption will follow a parallel of the first redemption. Because it's an extension. And therefore it's like a chamor. Forwards and backwards. Not going to happen straight. There will be setbacks. But hang in there. And what's the message of the Valley of the Dry Bones? Huh? So this is from Yechezkel 37. Now, he said, the hand of Hashem was on me, and he took me to this valley of dead bones, and God took me there, saviv, saviv. God transported Yechezkel, beam me up. And it says that what? God passed me to circle them, round about. Saviv, saviv. A lot of dead skeletons. So Rashi says, why did God have him circle around about? Why? Says Rashi, listen to this. Yechezkel's a Kohen. God couldn't put him down physically in the valley. He was hovering. Saviv, saviv. Because what? They are real bones. A real physical happening. So he has to circle above. Because what? He's become Tameh. According to the Rambam, it's not a problem. It took place in his head. In his head, there are no physical bones. He can't get Tameh. But according to Rashi, it took place in the physical world. So therefore, Yechezkel was hovering. Saviv, saviv. Because, says Rashi, what? He's a Kohen. A Kohen cannot come in contact with dead bones. Dry bones. Remember that cartoon? So therefore, he was circling above. Okay? And Hashem says to him, Ben Adam. Ben Adam. What does Ben Adam mean? He's the only Navi that's called Ben Adam. The 48 Nevi'im in Tanakh, Reb Yaakov. He's the only Navi that God calls Ben Adam. What does Ben Adam mean? A mensch? Zay a mensch. Be a mensch. What? Ben Adam. Why is he called Ben Adam?
Because he was an example to the people.
He's an ideal of what a mensch should be. What about the other 47 prophets? What am I, chopped liver? Why is only he called, David, why only he is called what? When he's called Ben Adam.
He was a mensch.
Yecheskel. Why he's addressed by the title of Ben Adam, he is called Ben Adam. I have an idea. He describes the vision of what? Of the third temple. Who's going to build the third temple? Will Hashem build it? Will the human beings build it?
Both.
So you have to say, Ben Adam, that God says, I'm waiting for you to do your part, mensch. And then I'll do my part. The third temple is going to come down from heaven. Will people build it? So God is saying it's going to be a partnership. Ben Adam, Yecheskel, who describes the Bayis Shlishi, Hashem calls him Ben Adam because it's up to both of us. You know, this world is a partnership. God says, you do your job, Ben Adam, and I'll do mine. Interesting. So anyway, he brings him into this valley, and Hashem says to him, what? I'll read it in English to go faster. Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, why are you asking me, Hashem? You know. So Hashem said to me, prophesize over these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the words of Hashem. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you and you shall live. And I'll put veins on you and bring flesh on you and cover you with skins. So the question is, does God need Yecheskel to resurrect the bones, Moshe? God doesn't need any assistance. Why is he telling Yecheskel, prophesize over these bones, son of man, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of Hashem. So again, Ben Adam, this world is a partnership. God doesn't need any help, but he loves mankind so much that he wants us to be involved with him. He doesn't need any helpers, right? So he tells Yecheskel, the Bayis Shlishi, he tells Yecheskel here to resurrect these dry bones to teach that Tikkun Olam is up to us. We've got created an imperfect world. He wants us to what? To perfect it. So he tells Yecheskel, you prophesize over these bones and say, hear the word of Hashem, I will cause life to enter in you and you shall live. And you shall know that I am Hashem. So Yecheskel says, I prophesied as I was commanded. There was a great noise. They behold a rattling. And the bones came together. Come together. And bone to bone. And as I beheld, says Yecheskel, the veins and the flesh came on them. And the skin covered them. But still, they were lifeless. There was no breath in them. Then God said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these dead bodies that they may live. So Yecheskel says, I prophesy as God commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived, and stood up on their feet, a great army. What's the message over here? What's the message? So God said to me, Ben Adam, Hatsamata Eile, what is the message of these dead bones? Kol Beis Yisrael, Hema. This is the entire house of Israel. They say, Hina Armim Yopshu Atz Moiseinu. House of Israel says, our bones are dried up. Of the Tikvatenu, our hope is lost. The temple is destroyed. There's a Holocaust. Nothing left, jewelry is in ruins, it's all over. It's all over, there's no hope. So what's the message? L'chein hinove v'yamarta aleihem. So prophesy to the Jews and say, Koy omer Hashem Elokim, hine ani poiteach eskibroiteichem. Behold, I open up your graves. You hear what God says? and I bring you up from your graves. V'eveiti eschem el admas Yisrael. And I bring you back to what? This is exactly what happened in 1948. 1948, what didn't it happen? The walking dead from Auschwitz, the survivors. In 1945, 1948, the Jewish state in 48, this is the prophecy we are living. After the Holocaust, the Jews were living skeletons. So literally God opened up the graves of Auschwitz and he brought us back El Admas Yisrael. This is our generation. Our generation has lived to see this actually happen, the state of Israel. We are the dry bones come to life. This is our generation. Now, why do you read it on Pesach for? Well, the Jews were Memtes Shari Tuma. That's spiritually dead. Didn't God resurrect us when he took us out of Mitzrayim? We were spiritually dead. Hashem revived us. So Pesach has this koach to what? Resurrect the dead. Why on Pesach? Rav Chaim Goin says that Tchiyas HaMeisim will take place on Pesach. Rav Chaim Goin says that the resurrection of the dead will take place on Pesach. So it's very matim to read a case of resurrection of dead on Pesach to help us focus. There'll be a resurrection again. Also when? On the Pesach of the Messianic era. Pashtay. There's a machlokes between Rashi and the other and Rambam. When will Mashiach come first? Will the resurrection first? It's going to be around that time. Exactly the sequence, we don't know. Whether Mashiach will come first or the resurrection will come first, that's a machlokes we've shown him. But around the Messianic era, the resurrection will take place on Pesach. So it's very matim to read about a first resurrection, which also took place when? On Pesach time, when Yecheskel resurrected these dead bones. Who were they? Who were they? So the Gemara says in Sanhedrin 92, these were the bones of Shevet Ephraim. Shevet Ephraim left Egypt 30 years earlier. They were massacred by the PLO. The Philistines? Abu Mamzer. Look in Divrei Hayomim. Divrei Hayomim records this, that these are the bones of Shevet Ephraim, who left Mitzrayim early, and they were killed by the Palestinians. So why do we read this on Pesach? Because their revival by Yecheskel was a culmination of what? Of the Exodus story. They were a failed Exodus.
Why did they leave?
Why did they leave? Because they figured the phone, God said there'll be 400 and... Yeah, how long will it be in Mitzrayim?
They miscalculated.
They
210
years. No, God tells Abraham 400 years.
They jumped the gun
by 30 years because they counted from when God told them the Brit Bein Absarim. That was 30 years before Yitzchak was born. When does the 400 years begin? The count, the final countdown. Doesn't it begin with the birth of Yitzchak, which was 400 years? Yitzchak was born on Pesach, and exactly 400 years later, what? The Exodus on Pesach? Or does it begin 30 years before at the Brit Bein Absarim, when God promised he'll have a son, Yitzchak, he will, and the exile will happen? So they miscalculated. So that was the Exodus that failed. So when Yecheskel resurrected them on Pesach, that is their resurrection was a culmination of the Pesach Mitzrayim, which was incomplete because 200,000 Ephraimites were massacred.
They came back to life.
Yehuda ben Becerra stood up and said, you see these tefillin? This is my great-great-grandpappy whose sons were bleaching, whose bones were bleaching in the sun for how many centuries? Yechezkel lived centuries after the Exodus. The bones were bleached centuries later. More than 100 years. Yechezkel lived 2,400 years ago. The Exodus happened 3,300 years ago. You're talking about 9 centuries? The bones were bleached, laying there, waiting for Yechezkel to bring them back. They never got buried. This is Shevet Ephraim, 200,000. So by resurrecting them, the failed Exodus became what? A successful Exodus.
That means that they had emuna. They were not spiritually.
They had emuna, but they didn't listen to the Chachamim. The Chachamim said, "You're miscalculating. You can't act on your own. You have to have emunas Chachamim."
They didn't.
They tried to break out on their own. The Chachamim, the Zikanim of the generation, said, "You're miscalculating." And therefore, they didn't listen, so they got punished. But eventually, they were resurrected centuries later by Yechezkel on Pesach. So we read this on Pesach. The failed Exodus got its tikkun. Now, Rav Kook applies, of course, this haftorah to his time, to the modern state of Israel. Rav Kook does. He says, in Pashas Kosai, it says God will bring us komi miyut la'atzenu. Komi miyut. What does komi miyut mean? Komi miyut. Koma. How do you say flight in Hebrew? Koma. Koma is a flight, no? Koma, floor, right? It says in Pashas Kosai that God will bring us komi miyut. Says Rav Kook, komi miyut means what? Two floors. Two stages. First, says Rav Kook, you have to have komat karka. What's komat karka mean, Moshe? The ground floor. He says the komat karka, that's the physical building of the land of Israel, even though it was done by not religious people. That's the foundation, that's komat karka. Then the second floor will be what? The komat geula, the Mashiach Tzadkenu. But you can't have a second floor without a ground floor. Can you? Can you have a penthouse without a ground floor?
No.
It's not going to work. Rav Kook applies this haftorah to our generation. We are those dead bones resurrected. And we are building the land. Those Jews who are not religious, they sacrificed their lives, draining the swamps. Who built the country? They are building the ground floor. Without them building the ground floor, you can't have the Komat Geula, the second stage.
It makes a kind of unity of the Jewish people.
And he says, that's why Mashiach Rochev ala Chamor. Remember we said? Chamor from the word Chomer. Mashiach will come after the Chomer is completed. What's the Chomer? The material building of the country. The high tech, the internet. Startup companies. Rochev ala Chamor, says Rav Kook. Mashiach will come after the Chomer is put in place. It's happening in front of our eyes. It's incredible. It's happening in front of our eyes. What? Yeah, disaster. We were on a roll. The Six-Day War. Miracles. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, miracle greater than the Hanukkah. And then you have disaster with the Oslo and the Gush Katif expulsion. Huh? Disaster, right? The Zohar says, don't despair. The final Geula follows the pattern of the first Geula. Yetzias Mitzrayim, there was disaster after disaster. The Jews accepted the Torah, right? On a roll. 40 days later, what happened, Alfie? Golden Calf Disco. 40 days after we said Nasa V'Nishma, one disaster after another. And yet, we still got to Eretz Yisrael. The final Geula will also happen this way. It will be forwards and backwards. There'll be setbacks, but we're going to get there. Like a chamor gets there. We're not permitted to despair. Eventually, the chamor does get there. Nachon? You think about it. In all of the disasters in the Midbar, can you imagine one after the other? The Jews thought they never get to Pisgat Zev. And they got. And think of it. In the 40th year, so close, the 40th year, what took place there? The wild Moabite women. Can you imagine that disaster? The orgy with the Moabite women, buddy. This is the 40th year, the generation that grew up where? In the Midbar. Seeing all the Nisim in the flood. Not the old generation. The Egel, the Meraglim, that was the old generation. The Benot Moab, that was committed by the generation that grew up on Moshe Rabbeinu's knee. And therefore, you never find Moshe Rabbeinu crying. Alfie. Disaster, Chet Egel, Meraglim, Korach, murmuring. Moshe never cried. He always davened for the Yidden, Harold. When do you find him crying? He had a breakdown. By the Benos Moav, he doesn't daven, he cries. Look at the text. Mefarshim explain why. Because all those other sins, Rabbi Yaakov, were committed by whom? The old generation. Where did they grow up? In the red light district. In Cairo. What did they see? Right? So Moses davened for them. He defended them. What do you want from them? They don't know no better. Where were they grown up? But the Benoi Smoyov sin, Harold, that was 40 years later. Check the text. The old generation was already dead. These people grew up where? Not in Cairo. They grew up in the best koilel in the world. Run by whom, Shirley? Moshe and Aaron. A better koilel for 40 years. Thank you. What did they see? No, no, just fine. No, no, no. No, it's still happening.
Slow.
No, it's sleeping. Give
hello,
me.
Hello, hello,
hey,
hello.
Hey.
Thank you. No paper, no paper. Where did they grow up? They grew up in the best yeshiva in the world. Moshe and Aaron, the two Rosh Yeshivas. They could commit this sin? Didn't they learn anything in 40 years? Moshe felt like a failure. My Talmidim grew up on my knee, not in Cairo. They could behave this way to commit the orgies with the Moabite women? The go-go dancers from Moab? What did they learn in 40 years? Only now Moshe cried, buddy. Only now he cried. Check the picture. Imagine how he felt. How could he defend these people? They're his responsibility. He raised them. All they saw was godliness in the Midbar. They can do it. And so it looks like it's all over. And yet we got to Pisgat Zev. Despite that, we still got to Eretz Yisrael. So we see in our own time, so close and yet so far, rockets, million people in bomb shelters. Where's the victory of the Six-Day War? Don't despair. Hang in there. It's following the roadmap. The Zohar HaKadosh says, the roadmap with all the pitfalls, this is only a test. And the Zohar says something even more amazing. As we get closer to the final Geula, Nebuch the Tzoris will get, I don't want to say, because the word, how do you say dawn in Hebrew? Shachar. Shachar. Shachar is dawn. The same root as the word shachor. Shachor is black. Is black. As we get closer to the shachar, Nebuch the shachar will get stronger too. The blackest hour of the night, buddy, is when? Right before dawn. If that's true in the physical world, how much is it more true in the spiritual world? Because we're so close to the dawn of redemption, so Nebuch the Tzoris are so shachor. But that's only a sign, Alfie, that we're very, very close. That's Dafke, the sign that we're so close. It's just amazing. Rav Salvechik Zatzal. I'm telling you, the roadmap, it's like you don't have to buy the paper. The Hafta Jerusalem. You read the story of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and you won't have to buy a Jerusalem Post. I'm not joking, Shirley. You save 11 and a half shekels. Rav Salvechik points this out. Quoting this,
only 3 shekels.
Only 3 shekels. Right? Save your 3 shekels.
So
Rav Salvechik speaks a lot about the Zohar said that the roadmap of the final redemption is the Mitzrayim story. Rav Soloveitchik asks, how come the Torah spends so many verses describing the ugly statements of Dasam V'Aviram? Dasam V'Aviram, those self-hating Jews, we have to know all their disgusting, ugly statements? Why does the Torah give them so much publicity? Says Rav Soloveitchik. Roadmap. As the Geula Mitzrayim was getting closer, the statements of Dasam V'Aviram became more uglier. This is the phenomenon that when Kiddush is about to come, the Koicha Satuma put there like a candle before it goes out, gives it a, what?
Flicker.
So the Koicha Satuma, before they're vanquished, give it their all. So you find the ugly statements of Dasam V'Aviram right by Mitzrayim. Why does the Torah give them so much press? Says Rav Soloveitchik, to teach that the Dasam V'Aviram syndrome is not an isolated case in Jewish history, Shirley. Never, we are going to be plagued with Dasam V'Aviram syndrome throughout our history.
J Street.
J Street! If that's not Dasam V'Aviram, I don't know what is. What did they say to Moshe Rabbeinu? Dasam V'Aviram. When he killed the Mitzri. He killed a Mitzri was terrorizing a Yid. The Mitzri shooting rockets, terrorizing, beating a Jew to death. So what did Moshe do? He killed the Mitzri. You know what they said? How dare you kill this innocent Mitzri? Not one word about the Jewish victim. Their bleeding heart was for the Mitzri. It's exactly what J Street said. Read their press release. They read the IDF is bombing Gaza. The poor innocent Palestinians are being killed. Not one word about a million Yidden in bomb shelters. Not one word. Their bleeding hearts was for the innocent Palestinians in Gaza that are being bombed. Isn't that Dasam V'Aviram? Mamish verbatim. They told Moshe Rabbeinu, how dare you kill the innocent terrorist? No sympathy for the Yiddish victim. That's Dasam V'Aviram, says Rav Soloveitchik. The Torah writes it, that throughout our history we're going to be plagued by the Dasam V'Avirams. We have to know it, we have to identify it, and not to despair. That's why the Torah gives so much publicity to Dasam V'Aviram. It's a sickness, the self-hatred of the Jew, who want to please the Goy at no cost, began in Mitzrayim, it only began there, but it's not going to end until what? Mashiach comes. And the Zohar HaKadosh says even more. Just like by Yetzias Mitzrayim, the Erev Rav gave us so much heartache, says the Zohar, right before the final Geula, we will also suffer from our Erev Rav. J Street, Peace Now, Goldstone, that's the Erev Rav. But it's all part of the roadmap. We have the roadmap. It's called Yetzias Mitzrayim. And we have the Dasam V'Aviram syndrome. We know not to despair. It's only a test. And the Koiches Atuma are putting all their Koiches in because they know it's 5 minutes before midnight. So they're so desperate. You see what's going on? Haaretz took a poll a few weeks ago. They were mishtageya. 80% of the Jewish people believe in God and believe in the coming of Mashiach. They were mishtageya, they printed it. They said, where have we gone wrong? Haaretz, they were tearing their hair out. The 80% of the Jewish people believe in Mashiach and believe in God.
Is that in Israel?
In Israel, you got to get the Haaretz. You can look it up online a few weeks ago on Friday, big headlines. Where have we gone wrong? That's the dust on the Avirams. Yeah, it is, David. It's all part of the road, not the road trap. It's a road map. And we have the roadmap, says the Zohar HaKadosh, the way Rav Soloveitchik explains it. It's all part of the roadmap. Hang in there, don't despair. Despite the pitfall, despite the shachar, we're going to get the shachar. The shachar will come despite the shachar. Same word in Hebrew, you know that. Same word, shachar, shachar. Shachar means dawn, shachar means black. The Vilna Gaon already speaks about that. that just like the blackest hour is right before dawn, certainly in Jewish history it's going to be that way. The blackest hour will come right before the dawn of the spiritual redemption of Am Yisrael. And many great rabbis said, remember, they don't want to live because there's going to be so much tzoris. They said, let Mashiach come, but I don't want to live at that time. Remember, rabbis, certain rabbis said that? Certain rabbis in the Talmud, they said that it's going to be Nebuch. Certain rabbis said that they can't handle the Shachar. But we have to be strong and know it's going to come. Whatever is true in the physical world is certainly true in the spiritual world. That the Shachar comes before the Shachar.
Is it true that the Neshamas that are going to be alive at the time of the final redemption are the same Neshamas that came out of Mitzrayim?
The Zohar says this. The Zohar says this, that the, and the Lubavitcher Rebbe speaks a lot about this. He says that the final redemption will be a reincarnation of the first redemption. Lubavitcher Rebbe quotes the Zohar about this, that we are privileged to be on the threshold of final redemption. We are Gilgulim. We are Gilgulim of those Yidden that went through the first redemption.
We
went through it. Been there, done that. Suffered, and now we are about to what?
Now we get to do it again.
Play it again, Sam. What? Mm-hmm.
The stuff we did right there the last time.
The Gilgul, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. In Tchiyas HaMesim, in the Torah, the Baba Chirebi has a beautiful word. He says, you learn out Tchiyas HaMesim from the Shirat Hayam. So the Rambam says, why? Because you think the splitting of the Red Sea was a great miracle. Stay tuned. The best is yet to come. Tchiyas HaMesim will be the greatest of all miracles. So the source for Tchiyas HaMesim is splitting of the Red Sea, because people think splitting of the Red Sea was what? The greatest miracle. Says Rambam, no. Tchiyas HaMesim will be much greater, and therefore, the source of Tchiyas HaMesim is where? Splitting of the Red Sea. That's the Rambam's explanation.
Will we still have the Seder?
Of course. One of the Ani Mamins is. Ani Mamin. That the Torah that we have will never change, right?
We're not talking about coming out of Egypt anymore. After
who said we won't? No.
No?
We'll speak about the new redemption, but we'll still think about Egypt.
Oh, I see.
Right? God tells you, I mean, we're still going to celebrate the Seder. We'll talk about the new redemption. But we're still going to speak about Mitzrayim. We're going to see the link. We'll see the bridge. We'll see the direct link, how the current redemption is a direct extension of what? The blinders will come off. We'll see the direct link and how all of the Torah's got us there. And all of the pitfalls got us there. We'll see that connection. Lubavitcher Rebbe has another explanation of why you learn out, Moshe, why you learn out Tchiyas HaMesim, we'll finish a little early today. Why we learn out Tchiyas HaMesim, you have to go home and do the cleaning. Why we're going to finish Tchiyas HaMesim. So the Rambam is another reason. I gave you the Rambam's reason, right? You ain't seen nothing yet. Hang in there. Lubavitcher Rebbe has another beautiful explanation. Why the source in the Talmud for the resurrection of the dead is Shirat Hayam. Says Lubavitcher Rebbe, how could the Yidden sing 7 days ago, they lost 80% of their relatives. How could they sing? Ay, 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 ay. It's only a week ago they lost 80% of their relatives. Remember? 4/5 of the Yidden died. How could they sing? When Hashem told them there'll be Tchiyas HaMesim, Oz Yoshir. Death is not final. Now I can sing. Death is not final. Yes?
It was one of the reasons, I think, was that
Red
Sea, even a simple handmaiden had the prophecy of Yechezkel.
No, no.
They saw it. That's why it's written in Oz Yashir, people sing. And they saw the prophecy.
Go ahead.
Okay.
They saw what Yechezkel saw, but much more. They saw the Meister Merkava?
Right.
Right. But why is it written, will sing?
Because so they saw the future.
Okay, but the Gemara Sanhedrin says, will sing means that dead people, remember Humphrey Bogart? Dead men tell no tales. I'm dating myself. Dead people can't sing. Socrates says Moses and the Jews will sing, Yashir, in the future. For he'll learn out the dead will be resurrected. So why does that have to be the source? So Rabbi Avitcher Rebbe says, how could the Yidden sing? They just lost 80% of their relatives a week ago. You're not moved to sing. Once they received the promise of Tchiyas HaMeisim, because God said, Yashir, now I can sing. Yidden Rabbi Rebbe, Gishmak. That death is not final. So now I can sing. I'll meet up with my deceased relatives. Reunited, and it feels so good. They got everything from us. Surely, no? Don't you know that? Here the Babich Rebbe is Givaldi Givart. Why the source for Tchiyas HaMeisim is Dafke Wat Shirat Hayam? Otherwise, how could you sing? And the Rambam says, because if you think Kriyas Yamsev was a greatness, stay tuned. You ain't seen nothing yet. Tchiyas HaMeisim will be the greatest ness of all. And therefore, the last of the Ani Mamins, Alfie, saving the best for last, Achron Achron Chaviv, what's the last of the Ani Mamins? Meitim Yechaye El, Barov Chazdo, Baruch Adeyat, Shem Tehiloto, Meitim Yechaye El, Barov Chazdo, Baruch Adeyat, Shem Tehiloto. Tell me about it. How do you know it's going to happen? Huh? Yecheskel happened. Yecheskel. It happened Yecheskel. 200,000. But according to Kabbalah, a Yeshaya Novi calls the Yidden Toilas. Yeshaya, we went over this last week, no? A couple weeks ago. Isaiah 41, God says, Altiri Toilat Yaakov. Do not be afraid, you caterpillar Yaakov. You know what God calls us? A caterpillar. Well, thank you very much. You look at Isaiah 41, God says, Altiri Toilat Yaakov. Do not be afraid, you caterpillar Yaakov. Metei Yisrael, you are dead in Israel. Ani Azartich, God said, I will help you. Isaiah 41. That's what it says in Hebrew. You won't find it in English, but that's what it says in Hebrew. Altiri Toilat Yaakov, don't be afraid, caterpillar Yaakov. Metei Yisrael, you are dead in Israel. Ani Azartich, I will what? I will help you. So the Kabbalists say, why does God compare the Yidden to a talas, a caterpillar? Because the secret of Tchiyas HaMeisim is found in the caterpillar, the cocoon, and the butterfly. A caterpillar crawls into a cocoon. What's a cocoon? It's a grave. What happens to the caterpillar? It decomposes. And out comes a butterfly. Said the Kabbalists, this is what Isaiah 41 means. If you want to know the secret of Tchiyas HaMeisim, look at the caterpillar and the butterfly. The grave is a cocoon. The caterpillar, the body decomposes. But that's not the end of the story. Stay tuned. We will arise from the grave like a butterfly rises from what? A cocoon. It's built into nature. Tchiyas HaMeisim is part of nature. Look at the toilat. King David in Psalm 22 calls the Yidden a caterpillar. Say what? Isaiah 41 calls the Yidden a caterpillar. Because the secret of the greatest nest of all is the caterpillar. Toilas in Hebrew is a caterpillar. Incredible. If God does it for a caterpillar, will he do less for a human being when the time comes? Isaiah 41, Psalm 22, where the Jewish people are called Toilat. Psalm 22, Isaiah 41. Why dafka caterpillar? Because that's the secret of Tchiyas HaMeisim, which the Rambam says is the greatest ness of all. Pretty amazing, no? It's part of nature. The caterpillars decompose. How could a butterfly pop out? God says, that's the secret of Tchiyas HaMeisim. So hang in there. The best is yet to come.